I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Kara Golden Show. Today, we are joined by Amy Schoenthal, who is the author of the new book, The Setback Cycle, a compelling book that explores the transformative power of setbacks in personal and professional growth. And Amy is just a super badass, incredible executive with a background in journalism and a keen eye for the resilience of the human spirit. And she has captured this essence of overcoming challenges through super inspiring examples and narratives in this book. So I got an advanced copy of The Setback Cycle, which comes out on March 18th, I believe. So, but you can get it in pre-order right now. And she's also the founder of an incredible collective that I want her to talk about called the Visionaries Collective. So welcome, Amy.
Thank you so much. And that was an incredible intro. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, congrats on the book. I'm super excited for you. And I know it's going to be a huge success. As I mentioned to you, you and I have been talking about this for a while, and I was so excited to get the advanced copy of The Setback Cycle. Can you give us a brief overview of why did you decide to write this now?
I have been interviewing founders and leaders and people like yourself who have had some level of business success for the past, I don't know, 20 years. And in almost every telling, I just kept noticing that the thing that people took the most pride in was when they lifted themselves up and emerged from some sort of setback. And usually it was that very thing that became their defining moment, that sent them on the path to create whatever they created that was getting all the awards, was getting all the attention. And I just wondered, you know, why does this keep happening? And where is the playbook so that I can understand how to work through my next setback? And I did lots of research and I read lots and lots of business books. And certain, you know, folks touched on setbacks here and there, but I didn't really see it explored as a concept. That playbook I wanted did not exist. So I wrote it.
It is so, so good. And you have so many examples, which we're going to get into. But the common thread in how successful people handle setbacks differently than others, I'd love to kind of hear your perspective on that.
Well, I did interview a neuroscientist as part of my research into understanding why people seem to emerge from setbacks. And that's what sets them on, you know, their path towards creative rebirth or resilience. And it turns out that our brains are actually hardwired to learn more from setbacks than successes. And so I think that people who work through them more, I guess, productively, for lack of a better word, are the people who pay attention to the signs, who don't ignore the discomfort, who allow for that, you know, rewiring to happen in their brains, because we learn more from the dopamine dips versus the dopamine hits. When things are going well, we're like, okay, great, let's just keep doing things the way we're doing them. But when things aren't going well, as you know, that's when you really have to pivot and adapt and come up with really creative solutions to problems.
Thinking about what's for dinner, but you haven't had a minute to even think about it before now? Well, let's not make that mistake again. I have a tip for you. Factor. Stress-free, delicious, ready-to-eat meals, just perfect for spring and summer yumminess. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes or less. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, keto, vegan, veggie, or calorie smart, Factor has you covered. Discover more than 60 add-ons every week too, like breakfast and on-the-go lunch choices. Snacks and beverages now too. Stay fueled and feel good all day long with whatever they are creating over at Factor for you. And the best part, each meal is ready to eat in just 2 minutes or less. And who wouldn't want that? Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. Get started today and fuel up for your spring and summer goals. What are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/golden50 and use code golden50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code golden50 at factormeals.com/golden50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. That's code golden50 at factormeals.com/golden50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. How often have you thought about learning a new language only to be stopped by that memory of yours from the last time you tried to learn a language when it didn't go so well? Okay, maybe it wasn't a language that you were interested in learning, or perhaps all those poorly written textbooks in your sixth grade class weren't that well written after all. I have a great tip for you. It's called Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program around, available on desktop or app. No matter where you choose to learn it or what platform you choose to learn on, Rosetta Stone works, and it truly immerses you in the language you choose to learn, quicker and easier than you ever imagined to. Maybe you're getting ready to travel abroad this summer and you want to learn a bit of Portuguese, let's say, before your trip. Rosetta Stone can help. I know this firsthand as I did just this before traveling to Portugal last year. I learned Portuguese through Rosetta Stone, and by doing so, I not only got a better grasp of the spoken language of Portugal, but it got me very excited for the trip itself before I went. They even have a true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation as you are learning too. They've got you covered. Rosetta Stone's trusted experts are the real deal. They've been helping people just like you for over 30 years. Helping millions of people to learn Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and my favorite, Portuguese. The lessons are 5 to 10 minutes long and include practical exercises so that you can pick up the language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. No English translations either, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language you are focused on, helping you get the long term retention you are looking for. And who wouldn't want that? Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the Kara Golden Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Yeah, definitely. Have you had any personal setbacks yourself? I mean, you've been an incredible executive. Sometimes, you know, I think about when you throw yourself into the den, right? It's inevitable that you're going to have some along the way. Some major learnings that I've had for sure. But I'd love for you to kind of share your own in that light.
I think every human being has encountered setbacks. And one of the most ironic ones that happened to me along this journey was, so I, as most authors are writing their book while also working at a full-time job or in some cases running their own businesses, I have worked in marketing agencies for my entire career for like 18 years. And so I was at a full-time job while I was writing this book. I handed in the manuscript on June 6th, 2023. It was the final version. I was so excited to just take a break and put more of my energy into that full-time job. I and less than 48 hours after handing in the manuscript for the setback cycle, which covers career setbacks, what do you think happened? I was laid off. So
crazy.
I was like, wow, I did not expect to be living the setback cycle the year that I wrote it, but here we are. And at least I have all of the tools and a framework here at my disposal to understand how to work through this moment. And of course, there's so many people right now that are going through layoffs and career pivots or, you know, midlife reinvention and things like that. So I certainly wasn't alone. But when you experience that, even if you're as prepared as possible, and I mean, I am the setback expert. I was as prepared as a person could be for this moment. It still stung. It still was such a gut punch. I mean, that's your income, your stability, your supporting your family. Like, it doesn't matter how prepared you are. It will still not be great.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you were looking at kind of the framework and the strategies for overcoming challenges, are there any strategies that you find that a lot of people overlook along the way that they think like, you know, woe is me, this is terrible. And, you know, is there some strategy that you think a lot of people do overlook that you saw really is helpful?
Well, I think one of the most surprising things I found in my research was how many people ignore the fact that they're in a setback or don't even realize it at all. And that's why the first phase of this four-phase framework is establish, right? You wouldn't think that you need to establish that you're in a setback because, you know, on the flip side, so many are very obvious, you know, you're laid off, you're, you know, your relationship ends, something like that is a very obvious setback, but so many more of them are so much less obvious. A lot of people will drift along, convince themselves that something is fine, that other people have it worse. And one of the most common things people do is willfully walk into a setback. And that's why that was one of the most surprising things. What people do, though, to answer your question, how do they overcome it? How do they finally acknowledge that they're in it and actually come out of it? You have to do the work. You have to not ignore the feelings of discomfort. And that can manifest as like a very physical feeling of stress and tightness and like a shifting in your seat kind of. If you're frequently feeling something like that, you know, it might be a sign that you're in a setback. I have a whole chapter on how to complete the stress response. And so it, like, stress is a very clear sign that you're in a setback. I mean, how many people do you know who've stayed in jobs too long or stayed in relationships too long? And then you break up or you leave the job and your friends all say, oh, finally. And you're like, wait, you knew I should do this? And it's, or maybe you were that person, but like everyone knows this example.
Yeah, it's so, so true. So you mentioned the four steps. Do you want to go over those? I mean, obviously you are, I should say you suggested the first one. So recognizing that you're in it, what are the other components to that overall four-part strategy, I guess, for dealing with any type of setback?
Yeah, the setback cycle is comprised of four phases. I call them the four E's. So number one is establish. Again, acknowledging that you're in a setback and saying, okay, this is a moment and I'm going to have to work, figure out what to do to work through it. The second phase is embrace. Once you acknowledge it, how do you collect the information? How do you embrace what's happening? This is a very difficult phase because it forces you to embrace the discomfort. And as a society, we've been kind of trained to avoid failure and ignore discomfort. And so this kind of goes against your instincts a little bit, but this is where we collect the information. And this is the precursor to that adaptation, to that resilience that we so badly want to build. Phase three is explore. Explore is the most fun phase because it's not super committal yet. You haven't chosen what path you're taking, but you get to kind of dabble in a lot of different options, rely on your community, explore, you know, what you're good at, what you're enjoying, what you're motivated by. And that's what's going to get you to complete the setback cycle in phase four, which is emerge.
Can you share any examples of some of the different stories that you have in the book? You talk a few different ones about resilience. There's some excellent ones, but I'm curious what would be one of your favorites.
I do not have a favorite. I cannot pick a favorite child.
Okay. Okay.
I'm happy to share a story. There were so many, because I was writing this between like 2021, 22, and 23. There were a lot of setback stories that really centered on how founders and leaders emerged from the pandemic. And one of those stories was a mutual friend of ours. Her name is Kate Luzio. She runs Luminary mm-hmm. in New York City. It's actually global now, but there's a space in New York City that people love. And she had just opened this co-working space in Midtown in 2019. And she had just opened a restaurant on top of the co-working space, like really just expanding, and everything was going so well. She was welcoming women and male allies from all, you know, seasons of their careers, executives, founders, and everyone in between. And we know what happened at the beginning of 2020. Everything was forced to shut down. And mm-hmm. she had just put all of her resources and investments, and she'd hired a staff into this co-working space. And we all kind of know what happened to that industry at the beginning of 2020. But Kate is no stranger to setbacks. Like, she left a banking career to start Luminary. And so she was not going to just say, she wasn't going to give up too easily. So she didn't even have digital in her business plan. But overnight, her and her team worked tirelessly to just flip everything to digital, take all the events they were supposed to have in person and put them online. And she just stayed true to what she, you know, set out to do, which was create a space and a community and a professional education and networking platform for women in all seasons of their career. And that's what she did, just digitally. And what did people need most in that time? They needed community. We were also isolated. And so it turned out this vision she had for her space was more of an in-person business. But when it flipped to online, it turned out that like staying true to her mission actually allowed her to succeed. And they, when the world reopened, I mean, Luminary is thriving. Once again, we're actually having our launch party there in a few weeks on Pub Day. And so it's just, it's such an example of someone who just did not veer from their original mission, but adapted to what society and what her community needed in that moment. And since then, she's actually, because of the state of co-working spaces across the country, she actually went on a Luminary Live, you know, tour, and she's partnering with co-working spaces across the country to help them, you know, revitalize their operations and engage the community around them so that people, not just in New York, can have access to a space and community and, you know, networking and resources and all kinds of things.
Did you find any differences in gender, how people deal with resilience? Or was that something that you looked at? Or was it more focused on, you know, just in general, humans trying to, or really showcasing how they've gotten through things?
I did not do any specific study on how mm-hmm. different genders, you know, adapt to setbacks. However, I will say that anecdotally, it does seem that the more marginalized you are, you know, whatever mm-hmm. that means, whatever, more marginalized communities develop more resilience because they have to encounter more setbacks. It's just how the world works. It's not fair. It's not great, but the creativity and ingenuity is stronger the more marginalized your community is, right? The more privilege you have, the less adaptable you need to be. And so, of course, you kind of see that in the stories that are in the book, how the more marginalized you are, the better you are at adapting to setbacks because you're familiar with going through the cycle.
Yeah. As I say, the more setbacks you have, the more excellent you become, right?
It's true.
Dealing
it's
with them.
True.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
true.
Definitely.
You become adaptable.
And I think you become that much more inspiring too, right? To others, because to your whole point of the book, it's like, that's the most memorable thing that you remember in people. How did they get through those times when you just really weren't sure they were going to be able to? And I think that's just such a great, you know, such a great message to have in a book. What's another example? I mean, obviously, you talk about Kate and the pandemic. I love that example too, because I think there were so many of us dealing with running a business during the pandemic, and we just didn't have the blueprint for how to do it. It was kind of like other times. For me, it was a little bit like 2009, but not really. I mean, there were aspects of it that were similar. But I also think that there's other times when you're dealing, you know, with setbacks that aren't really related to something where everybody is dealing with it, just like you. Like, and it's hard because you start to look around at other people. Why me? You ask yourself that. Any other examples of that where you felt like somebody really powered through?
Well, to answer your first question, I think some people, you know, what is a setback to one person is not necessarily a setback to another. Like getting fired, getting laid off is usually a setback. But for me, it was actually a green light to go start my own business and do the thing I had always been a little bit curious about doing. So one person's setback is not necessarily going to be defined that way by another person. And the story, another story that I think illustrates this so well is that of Reshma Saujani. She's the founder of Girls Who Code. And then she also created an organization called Moms First. So she actually created, a lot of people don't know this, but she actually created Girls Who Code because in 2009, she ran for Congress and she lost. And she lost big time. And she calls, I think it's the first line of my book, a spectacular public failure. And it was on that campaign trail that she noticed the gender disparity in especially middle grade and high school, where girls were dropping out of computer science and STEM classes. And she created an organization to address that, which has now taught, I believe it's over 500,000 teenage girls how to code. And that organization would not have existed had Reshma not lost her election. And because she went through that setback, of course, we go back to the pandemic, but when all the parents were at home trying to figure out remote learning, you know, people were trying to balance remote learning for school age kids with their own full-time jobs, and the government wasn't really doing anything to address it. And she kept waiting for a solution and waiting for someone to talk about it. And then she realized, wow, the economy is really built on the free labor of parents, usually mothers. And that got her so riled up. And Reshma Saujani does not just let things go. Like, she takes action. Yeah. And so she created the Marshall Plan for Moms, which was modeled after like a post-World War II economic recovery plan. And she put things in there that were so bold and so, and she knew would be met with absolute scrutiny, but she didn't care. She said, someone has to start this. And it's going to be me because no one else is doing it. And look what she's done since then. You know, I think she's been advocating for legislation at the local and federal level, and they've had some wins. So it's pretty incredible if you look at what Moms First has been able to accomplish in the past few years.
Yeah, Reshma is just such a great example of that. She's amazing for sure. So in writing The Setback Cycle, what was the most surprising discovery you made about human resilience?
Well, the most surprising thing to me was how common it was for people to not recognize when they were in a setback. And that's why phase one is established. And there are so many nuances to this. I really had to dive into like the concept of positive psychology, which is kind of what led to what we know now as toxic positivity, and how in like the 80s and 90s, everyone wanted to just like ignore sadness, ignore failure, ignore negative emotions. I think we're definitely seeing like a shift in that trend now. But it was really, you know, it was really this moment that set us on this, hey, don't tell anyone if you're struggling. Don't tell anyone about your failure. And then a lot of the, you know, I write mostly for Forbes, and a lot of the business stories of successful entrepreneurs fast forward to the happy ending and get right to the success story. And what I started doing, which is what led me to really writing the book, was I started really exploring the messy middle with people. And we did that with your story when I wrote about you. You know, we really just got into like, what did you have to figure out on your own? Like, why was this hard for you? Because it is hard for everyone. And that's what's not talked about enough. And too many people think there's just sort of like a straight path to success, and not enough people realize that even the most successful people that they might admire so much and put on a pedestal, what they had to endure or what obstacles they had to overcome to get to where they are. And it all really, again, it really always goes back to a setback. And it doesn't always get defined as like a trauma or a mistake, because we all know about post-traumatic growth or learning from your mistakes. But a setback is its own thing, and it encompasses all of these things. And it really, that to me was like the universal experience that everyone comes out of their setbacks if they really work through the cycle. And a lot of people really need to focus more on understanding when they're in one.
Yeah, no, definitely. So how do you hope the setback cycle will change the conversation around failure and setbacks? I mean, I think that just having the conversation, right? People do still want to hide exactly what happened, right? And I think that that is something that we can all learn from. So I definitely think that more people should be talking about it. I don't really think that there's as much of a place for it. I see some people talking, for example, on LinkedIn about, you know, different experiences that they've had in the past, but there definitely is not enough of that happening. And I think that oftentimes there's not enough outlet. So I loved the fact that you took the opportunity to write about it, but I wish that there were more examples and more opportunities for people to talk about these challenges that they went through.
Yeah. Everyone who has read the book so far, and you are among that small group of people now because the book has not come out yet, but everyone who I've spoken to who has read it says that they are now seeing their own life experiences through a different lens. Mm-hmm. And they have, you know, whether they encountered a setback years ago and now they're seeing it with the advantage of hindsight, or maybe they realize that they're working through one right now. I just want this book to give people a better understanding of their own experiences, offer them a different lens with which to see them through, and also offer the tools to understand what more might be possible for them, despite mm-hmm. what they are going through. Or even when you're at your, look, I don't want to glorify failure. I don't want to glorify pain, but these setbacks that we experience are inevitable. And at least we now know that when we are in the thick of it, that if we work through it, and now we have the playbook to work through it, you can emerge with a sense of what more might be possible for you and how much you are capable of.
Yeah, definitely. And the framework that you provide, I think is super, super great. So I think even if you're not currently in a setback, I think being able to have it, this guide as, you know, a great worksheet in some ways for you to work through is just super, super incredible. So last point, so someone currently facing a significant setback, what would you suggest besides buying the book and going through the 4 points? What would you say to somebody who, maybe a friend, maybe somebody who's going through a challenging time?
Number one, I would say to them, acknowledge that this stinks, that this is not fun. And even if you were so prepared for this or you expected it, it doesn't change the fact that today is no good. And maybe all you need to do right now is just sit on the couch with a pint of ice cream. That's okay. Have that moment, embrace it, feel the feelings, acknowledge the discomfort. But then tomorrow, start to climb your way out, start to explore what else you might want to do. Don't wallow for too long, but pick up the clues in that discomfort. Mm-hmm. And again, like when one path disappears, you have no idea what other options may lay out in front of you, because you're going to go explore things that you never would have thought to explore had you continued on that other path. And maybe there's something better here. And so, Yeah. I mean, just explore the possibilities and see what other opportunities you might be able to find given the situation that you're in.
I love it. Excellent advice. So Amy Schoenthal, author of The Setback Cycle, thank you so much. We'll have all the info in the show notes, but thanks for coming on and congrats again on an excellent book. So good.
Thank you so much, Kara. This was a wonderful interview and I appreciate it.
Thanks again for listening to The Kara Golden Show. If you would, please give us a review and feel free to share this podcast with others who would benefit. And of course, feel free to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of our podcast. Just a reminder that I can be found on all platforms at Kara Golden. I would love to hear from you too, so feel free to DM me. And if you want to hear more about my journey, I hope you will have a listen or pick up a copy of my Wall Street Journal best-selling book, Undaunted, where I share more about my journey, including founding and building Hint. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thanks for listening and goodbye for now.